Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Imke, your host. This is the show where we hear from farmers, processors, chefs, hunters, and thinkers. And sometimes these roles are all in the same person. We'll be talking about food, which is always tasty but calorie-free. This show is subtitled The Newfoundland and Labrador Farm and Food Show. I bet that some of you have been wondering if I was just giving lip service to Labrador, if I'd actually feature some folks from there. People are so cynical these days, aren't they? And suspicious. But it is high time that I include an interview from Labrador. Okay, so if you fly to the big land from the small land, like the island, you might land in Goose Bay. You rent a car, head off the airport base. Don't worry, you aren't actually driving on a runway, even if it feels like that. When you come to the T, turn right toward Happy Valley. Past stores, businesses, fields of sand, yes, sand, restaurants, the hospital, some wonderful gardens, and you'll come to Mud Lake Road. It's a road with the kind of a name that real estate agents grumble about. You might not realize it at the time, but you will be entering one of the most intensively farmed regions of central Labrador. Down that road, past the water treatment plant, you'll come to Birch Lane Farm. Turn in, and if you're lucky, you'll find the owner somewhere in the garden or close to the chicken coop. Come on into the greenhouse with us. Get out of the breeze. Put on some fly dope. You'll need it.
Just make sure this thing's working. Visual little check. Maybe we'll start with your...
Want me to shoot him?
No, I like it in the background. It gives him some authenticity. Oh, he really was at a farm.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah.
So just start with your name and a couple sentences about your farm.
Yeah. Well, I'm Jim Purdy, an ex-Nova Scotian, and between myself and Marge Gowdy, who comes from Labrador, we own the enterprise called Northern Naturals. It's two agricultural leases. One is called Birch Lane Farm, where we are now, and the other one is down the road called Silver Pine Farm. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly undeveloped except for native berries. That's what we emphasize, what we do down there.
When did you start this enterprise?
Funny thing, you just don't start farming in Labrador. You have to apply to get land.
Ah,
so that takes a couple years. 14 years ago we started when we did our application.
Yeah.
And I had a background in farming and organic farming in Nova Scotia. Marge was always interested in gardening. Her grandmother, adopted mother, Mrs. Gowdy in Happy Valley, always had a garden, and it amounted to quite a lot of what they used on their kitchen table.
Yeah.
And that was the same thing in Nova Scotia. We ate everything. Ben and Jerry, we ate everything we could and sold the rest in Nova Scotia.
Yeah. Yeah. So you come with a farming background.
The farm that I owned in Nova Scotia, what was the family farm, goes back, it was Acadian's farm. They farmed on it.
Yeah.
So that goes back to 1600s,
I
guess.
Yeah. The Acadians were remarkable farmers, I think.
Well, they were professionals.
Professionals.
Yeah, the military hired them, basically, to come over to Canada to grow food for the different forts they had around, including Louisbourg.
Yeah.
Most of them were Belgians, actually.
Yeah.
But they spoke French, and they were from the Meuse Valley in Belgium.
Maybe we should use that model now and hire some professional farmers.
Well, they brought those guys over to Canada, those farmers. They were professional farmers. They gave them the very best of technology they had in that day. Yeah. Number one, engineers. They had a healthcare system. They had an education system. The whole works.
Yeah.
And that was to support the military.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of like what should have happened here with the military. But the farming community here in Labrador, probably doesn't sell 10 cents worth to the military here.
It's odd that you use the term professional farmer, and I'm kind of like, that's a term I don't hear very much. You don't include profession in farming, oddly. That's a comment, isn't it?
I guess you're right, yeah. It's nothing that I coined, I don't think, that term. But,
but it's just that we devalue the skills required for growing food so much so, whereas the skills for accounting or lawyering are professional.
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
So you were doing organic farming in Nova Scotia. Is there a reason why you chose that, or that's just what was traditional?
That's the way the farm was.
Yeah.
They had
their
cattle, they had their sheep, they had their chickens, they had the pig, they had an apple orchard, they had a compost pile, they called it the manure pile.
Yeah.
They raised their own tractor, we'll say. They had horses.
Yeah.
That was raised on the farm and fed from the farm, fueled from the farm. Yeah. And then when it was no longer any good, it went back into the farm. That sort of thing, that's just the way it was back in the mid-1800s. When I got on there, first thing you do is get a tractor, and that. But I eventually did get a horse.
Yeah.
I got more involved with organic and reading the Mother Earth News and those publications.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a sideline to working as well.
Yeah.
You know, working at a job in town at the hardware store. When I was a teenager, I got a job along with my brother and some other young fella to go to Newfoundland in the summertime and sell subscriptions to the Family Herald. That was Canada's national farm newspaper. Yeah. It's a weekly. You had to be up on your product. So we used to, not have to, but we did, from interest for one, is read that Family Herald when we got all of our sample issues came in every weekend. We'd go right through it. So we learned all kinds of agriculture things from the Family Herald because that's what we were selling. We weren't farming over there, but the people realized that we knew what we were talking about. We'd go to the page here and show them about this new whatever.
Yeah.
And so got interested that way, and then after that faded away. Back in Nova Scotia, and the old farm was there, and a job in town. By then, Mom and Dad had split, and Mom and my brother and I had the place, and we worked away hard, best kids could do as time went on. Got a Jersey cow and everything.
So the switch to Labrador. What are the advantages of growing here in Labrador? What are the things, let's start with the positive.
Okay. The positive thing that's so amazing to friends of mine outside, we'll say, is we've got about 25 acres cleared here, and it's level. It's smoother than Yarmouth Airport, practically, and we've got all the rocks picked, all two wheelbarrow full. there's no rocks. Yeah. It's a sandy loam here. Yeah. Some places are a little more sandy than is good, but it was very low pH, and we managed to overcome that. Sandy part of it, we built it up with cover crops and all that sort of. Like, we're doing all right here.
Did it feel a bit like homesteading when you moved from a farm that had been a place that had been farmed for 100 and 200 years, whatever, to here?
I think that was part of the reason Marge and I took this on.
Yeah.
Because it was all bushland here, and nobody had grown anything here for 10,000 years since the ice went back. Yeah. And it gives you a kind of pioneer thing. We were both working in Goose Bay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're lucky enough to be able to recognize good piece of land.
Yeah.
The department had soil specialists come over here and test all this land, draw it out on maps where the A1 and A2 and all that was, so we took all of that into consideration.
Yeah.
With a lot of help from the department and the Federation of Agriculture, you're pretty green coming to Labrador when you've got almost 9 months of winter coming from southern Nova Scotia where the lake doesn't even freeze anymore.
Okay. So you started selling vegetables to locally here then?
Yeah.
You've got a business where people stop by and elsewhere. Can you sell everything you grow? Is there a market there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's endless, practically. Yeah. There's $20 million worth of produce comes into Goose Bay every year.
Really?
So, I mean, we don't have to get much to have a lot.
Yeah.
Much of that. So everything that we've grown here that people know about has sold. And, I mean, we can't grow enough beets. We can't grow enough carrots. We can't grow enough potatoes. Yeah. But when it comes to some of the things that are quite common, we'll say, in Nova Scotia, like some of the oriental vegetables and so on like that, they don't sell yet.
Yeah.
We're doing it because there's a part of the population here now that likes that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And like daikon radish, nobody here heard tell of it hardly, but it's a good seller.
Bok choy, things like that?
Yep.
Yeah. Is there a song I can play under this to loop in to a song that you have in mind?
There's lots of, I guess, farmer songs, but like maybe Hotel California.
Hotel California, right.
You get into it and you just can't get out.
And you can't get out.
Yeah. And that's the way with me and Marge. We just, we don't know what we'd do if we didn't have the farm.
Yeah.
What would you do when you're, you know, you've been at it for a long time?
It seems like a particularly effective retirement strategy to keep you out of the house and walking around. And
yeah, there's lots of exercise.
Yeah.
Good fresh air. Lots of sunshine. Keeps your brain going to try, you know, it's like playing checkers a little bit. No, I think it is a good retirement where you're your own boss, pretty much.
Yeah.
And you're able to make enough to make it worthwhile doing.
Yeah.
You know, you pay for the gas for the farm truck and the insurance or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's a warm August day. The rain is holding off, and I'm speaking with Jim Purdy on his farm on Mud Lake Road, just outside Happy Valley in Labrador. I start out this section asking for some policy advice.
You know that there's this big push to try and increase agriculture 20% by 2022, whatever it is. What are some things in the Labrador context here that could be done or are being done to increase that footprint?
That's quite a big question.
It is, and you'd be a highly paid consultant if you knew the answer.
Probably, you're right. I know there's by the department and the federation and the politicians, there's more interest in agriculture than there was 10 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's more sincerity about it. It wasn't just something that they got up and spoke for 15 minutes to us about at the hotel or wherever room was and then left. There's a little bit more to it now than that. It's welcome, of course. Yeah. I think one thing that could be done was to educate more young people about agriculture and becoming a farmer or call yourself a food producer. I don't care what they call it.
Yeah.
Grow some good stuff that people like, and be there to explain about it.
Yeah.
You're gonna sell it. We've got stone-free land. We've got hardly any of the insects. We don't have potato bugs here.
Okay.
The weeds that we have are, the worst weed that we have here is wild raspberries.
Okay.
Maybe we should, they're everywhere. But maybe we should be growing just raspberries. But the weeds that are here came in the seed that we brought in.
Yeah.
So we control that pretty good. The long days, or the long hours of daylight here, boy, I'm telling you, if you're working from daylight till dark, you got a long day.
Long day,
And but that makes things grow better and faster.
In areas like where you were in Nova Scotia, the advantage is that agriculture has happened for many, many years, and there are generations of people who grow up. You grew up, there was a farm there. You understood. Here it's slightly different. There's only a few. There's a handful of farms here in Labrador, at least central Labrador. And so you don't have the young people who have that experience with agriculture yet. Are there ways to get around that? Or are those who are doing more community gardens, is that all helping
It's getting better.
Yeah.
10 years ago, a grade six kid, we'll say, that came to this farm wouldn't know a carrot top from a potato or a turnip or anything like that. Yeah. But now there's been people, and I suppose part of the government initiative has gone into teaching things in the schools.
Yeah.
So the kids come down here when they come. They're always welcome.
Yeah.
All their parents know that.
Yeah.
And they know more about it.
Yeah.
And they know that chickens just don't come from the grocery store.
Yeah.
Because they come here and see them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
And it makes it better for us guys.
Yeah. There's obviously a history of agriculture, of growing food in Labrador. People had lived here for centuries and fed themselves, obviously. But it seems like a couple generations it's sort of gone to the store. You go to the store to buy stuff. Are there pieces of the past, ways in which what things people grew and stuff like that are still lessons for us today? Like, should we know more about that history in order to understand what to do today?
Well, it was pretty limited, the agriculture here. The Moravians up on the coast, the north coast, had their European agriculture. Of course, they brought most of their food over. And then the people around here in central Labrador, before the base came here, it was a Hudson Bay Company in Northwest River, and that was the center of the population.
Yeah.
And the people knew about cattle because a lot of them were Scotchmen and Englishmen that came over working for Hudson Bay. They brought cattle over here, and they grew the potatoes and the turnips and the oats and the barley. They grew all of these things that you either grow them or go without.
Yeah.
Now, Hudson Bay could bring in a lot of stuff, but these guys had laying hens, and they butchered chickens, they had pigs.
Is there any grain grown here now?
Boy, it's not much.
Not much,
No. We grow it, I shouldn't say not much, we grow it to plow in for mulch.
For like green manure or whatever,
Yeah, to get the green manure right.
Yeah.
Well, I have grown and ripened and had harvested canola, does good here.
Yeah.
Flax is another one that grows, and we've got a long enough season. Wheat, oats, barley, rye. There's some rye down here that's down, I'm pointing down over the bank.
Yeah. That's
been there for 3 or 4 years. It keeps reseeding itself.
Volunteers.
With livestock, we need to grow some of our own grain.
Yeah. Do they know on the island that you grew canola here? Because I thought they were doing tests to see if they could grow it. They could have called you up.
There's quite a division between here and the island. I was interested in canola for the oil part of it.
Yes.
Because it's 10 years ago, it was a real big business.
Yeah.
And I think there's an opportunity here, but you've got to have good cleared land.
Yeah.
The guys out west are having a lot of problems growing it.
Yeah.
With the root maggot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you need a feed mill. There's all these different things. And for a guy my age to haul out the money to start growing grain, buying a big seeder, a combine, a feed mill, and having cattle to feed it to, I'm not going to do anything like that. And it's a hell of a pile of money for a young fella to invest to get himself a job 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Livestock is the other piece. Is that it makes it possible to get manure and to have a whole system and so on. And is it are there more people? There's more discussion of trying to have beef cattle. Obviously, you've got a lot of chickens around here. You can hear them all along.
Yeah.
But is that a piece that needs to really grow in order to help provide the manure? I suppose for.
Oh yes, that's one of the things that is missing here.
Yeah.
The four-legged critters, the chicken manure is good, but they don't produce a whole lot because they're a small thing and you need thousands, in this area. But you need a few cattle.
Yeah.
And sheep manure is excellent.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And it goes in with your mulch. You want to mow down the oats or something when it's a foot tall and put that in your compost pile. There's hardly any seaweed available here. There's a little bit down in the bay you could get, but like in Nova Scotia, you just go to the shore and get what you want.
Yeah.
We are kind of limited to commercial fertilizer, whether it's organic or just ordinary chemical.
Since you have a background in organic, do you think about getting certified organic here? Does it make any difference?
It would make a difference to me.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, I think it's just in the perception.
Okay.
They consider what I grow here organic,
yeah.
and my neighbors,
yeah,
because we don't put spray on.
Yeah.
costs too much for one thing. The other thing is it's a nuisance to do, and mostly we don't have to. You know, we're careful. The insect control is, you know, we manage with row cover and high nitrate fertilizer. That seems to keep the bugs away from things, and there's not many bugs anyway. And we're as close to organic as is possible without the four-legged critters. To have your own good manure pile and do it that way. But people recognize that, and a lot of them do and know it.
What's your favorite local, what's the, of you grow, what's your favorite vegetable, fruit?
Boy, I like them new little potatoes. They are really good. Green peas.
Snap peas.
Well, good stuff. We don't grow a lot of peas. There's not a lot of market for it.
No.
And beet greens. Beet tops. There's no market for that here.
Knowing what you know now, would you come back and start farming again in Labrador?
Most likely. It's kind of in your blood.
Yeah.
And the I do things different. I know that. I would go at it a different way. I would definitely have four-legged livestock, whether the department agreed with it or not.
Right.
Because we had a moratorium on them here for a few years.
Right.
And some applications for farms were turned down because that was mentioned in the business plan.
Really?
Cattle or sheep.
They just thought they wouldn't survive here, or they just wasn't part of their model?
You know, I mean, they just didn't know, and I think at that time they weren't concerned with even trying to find out.
Mirrors on the ceiling, they pink champagne on ice, and she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't.
Hotel California from the Eagles. This is the music choice of my guest today, Jim Purdy. Why, you may wonder? He says it's a metaphor for farming in Labrador. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Back to my chat with Jim, along with his very striking rooster, who you may have noticed in the background. We start this section by admiring the rooster's plumage and his general imperial bearing.
Pretty boy, is it called?
Yes, pretty boy.
Pretty boy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good bear. You said it keeps the bears away.
Well, he crows so loud, I figure that's the reason the bears don't come close.
Yeah.
Because it sounds pretty dangerous from distance.
Yeah. So next time you go camping, don't take bear spray. Just take a rooster with you.
Well, you can hear him half mile away. You can hear him growing. The chickens run loose.
Yeah.
They get in the garden a little bit, but
but they're
not much.
They're also picking up all kinds of grubs and sorts of things that
whatever,
makes their meat particularly tasty.
They eat mosquitoes if the little light is on all night. In the hen house, they eat mosquitoes all night long.
Really?
Or black flies.
Yeah.
At times.
Let's hope.
The berries have been good. We've always done well with berries. The native ones and the planted ones. Our neighbors up there, they had a pile of native berries. And wild, you know, wild blueberries.
There's something called red berry here, which would be partridge. Is that partridge berry?
That's what they call partridge berry in Newfoundland. We grow a lot here on this place. And it's hard to get pickers, but Marge is really diligent at it. And we buy a lot too from other people that pick other places. There's a huge market for them. We can never have enough. It seems. I mean, there is an end to it, of course. They are high in vitamin C and other antioxidants. They're good. There's squash berries is another one.
Okay.
They're a high bush berry, easy to pick. huge market for them. Then there's bake apples. We don't have bake apples on this place.
Yeah.
But huge market for them.
Yeah. The trouble is labor for some of those.
Yeah, it's all bending over, you know, picking it. But
and bake apples like to live where black flies live too.
Yep.
Somehow.
Yeah. There's some bog land down at the end of the farm, way down, and it's we don't have it cleared off, but there's bake apples in there.
Yeah,
buddy, there's black flies. It's the way it is, though.
That's right. Nature coexists with other things. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Jim, for this. I'm sure you've got things to do.
Well, I'm glad you could do this.
It's exciting to. It's a real benefit to visit farms. Like, I think that's why I always wanted to go to the farms and just see, because it's so invisible sometimes, farming in this province.
Yeah, we need all the PR we can get. That's for sure.
Yeah.
One of my neighbors, Des, is he's got a good science background.
Yeah.
And he could just make your head whirl with describing what goes on in the ground in a scientific way like that. But it's always gone on.
Yeah.
But now it's defined more scientifically.
Yeah.
And my God, with all the technology and the computers and everything we've got, farming should be a lot easier and simpler.
Yeah.
And not so damn competitive.
Mm.
You know, I'm competing with the guy from Peru to sell raspberries.
Yeah.
You know, what doesn't make sense, hardly.
Yeah.
I wish him luck, though, because we got better raspberries.
You've got the product.
Yeah.
He might have the distribution system at the moment.
Yeah. I've told so many people, land of opportunity right here.
Yeah.
It's getting warmer. There's more people that want to eat local. Like I say to people that say, "My, that's expensive," at a roadside market, I'll say, "That's Muskrat Falls price," and they got to laugh and they pay it, you know,
pay it.
Because that project has give us a lot more customers, and people that recognize that you just don't eat potatoes and turnips and cabbage and carrots.
Yeah. Maybe there's one good thing about Muskrat Falls.
Yeah, it's that, and they fix the roads up.
They fix the roads up.
I was trying to think of something else.
Yeah, that's right.
Positive. Anyway, that's about that, I guess.
Great. Thanks again.
All right, you're well. You can check out anytime you like, but you can.
That was an interview with Jim Purdy, just outside Happy Valley in Labrador, on a lovely August morning. We've also been listening to the music of the Eagles and their classic song, Hotel California, by request of Jim. I've just learned that song is really about farming in Labrador, in this whole province, I suppose. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland and Labrador Farm and Food Show. If you have questions, comments, email me at fittoeatnl, one word, fittoeatnl@gmail.com. The theme music was Cluck Old Hen, done this week by Noam Pilkney and Steve Martin. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications with the support of the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture and Food First NL. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Take care of each other. Happy trails.
I'm competing with the guy from Peru to sell raspberries. You know, what? That doesn't make sense, hardly.
Yeah.
I wish him luck, though, because we got better raspberries.